We are doing the Rambam's commentary on Pirkei Avot, and we're up to the fourth chapter, the eighth Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer. And when we encounter Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, we know that's Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta, who went and lived in Tzipori. Rabbi Yossi taught, Kol amchabed et haTorah, whoever honors the Torah, gufo mechubad al habiriyot. So his body is honored by God's creatures. V'chol amchalel et haTorah, and whoever desecrates the Torah, gufo mechulal al habiriyot. So his body is desecrated before God's creatures. Explains the Rambam, Kvod Torah hu sheichabed mitzvoteha. The honor of Torah is honoring the Torah's commandments. Be'arotoh ishtadlut ba'asiyatam. When a person shows he's putting in an effort to perform the Torah's mitzvos. Ve'ichabed et hachachamim noseha, and he respects the wise men who carry the Torah, ve'et ha'svarim shenitchabru ba, and the books that were composed in Torah. So Kvod Torah really encompasses, how do we talk about a rabbi? How do we talk about a sefer? How do we deal with the sefer? You know, we don't leave a sefer lying on the floor. We don't just toss a sefer. We put it down respectfully. Part of the respect we're supposed to show the Torah is reflected by how we treat those who teach it, and we treat the books of Torah. But remember, it's also honoring the mitzvot. V'chein chilul Torah b'shlosha dvarim, and so to desecration of Torah is in these three areas. How do I treat mitzvot? Do I say, oh shucks, you know, it's Shabbos, I can't use my phone? Or do I say, Baruch Hashem, it's a Shabbos, it's an attitude, and the attitude sometimes can have an impact on everything we do. A person tries to perform mitzvot with the wrong attitude, very often he's not going to succeed. So it's something to work on. We're up to Mishnah Tet, Rabbi Yishmael ben Omer. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, he used to frequently say, HaChosech Atzmo Min Adin, someone who could avoid going into a court case. Sorry, Brett. He's a lawyer. Whoever can withhold from going into court, Porek Mimenu, he's saving himself, Eva, hatred, V'gezel, and theft, V'shvat Shav, and false vows. V'agasti Bobo Ra'a, and someone who is coarse in his heart with regard to giving ruling. He just gets a rough picture of where the ruling should be, and he just says, that's my ruling, and bangs his gavel. Shote, he's a fool. Rasha, he is wicked. Vegasuach, and his whole spirit is coarse. Says the Rambam, Gas libo, eino choshesh lohorot, v'nigash lahora'a lelo mora v'lelo yishuv adat. He doesn't take his responsibility of giving ruling seriously, but rather he goes in without the awe of God, nor without being settled, getting the bottom line, getting a clear picture of what happened here, how he should rule. And you often see people that way. They walk in, I think it should be this way. Yeah, bam. Now you can't convince him. There's no one to talk to. Sometimes you meet up with a judge, he's made up his mind from the first second he sits down in the court case. The woman walks in and she's crying and she's all teary-eyed. There was a case like that in New Jersey about 7 years ago. A woman came in all teary-eyed and made a whole story, and the judge granted her everything. Her husband was a multimillionaire. And then they started bringing the facts. But the judge didn't want to turn back. And it's on its way to the Supreme Court, this case. But the judge was just like, he decided. He saw her crying, so she must be in the right. And he didn't even look at the facts. So the Rambam says, no, a person who's, that's what the Mishnah says, a person who is coarse-hearted, he doesn't take time to settle down and understand what's behind the story. So he's a fool, he's wicked, because he's given responsibility here, and he's misusing it, and his whole spirit is coarse. Mishnah Yod, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Al Ti Dan Yechidi, don't judge alone. There's only one who judges alone, and that's God. Now everyone else should try and judge together with other people. Nor should one say, except my opinion, they have permission to decide, and maybe you don't. If other judges are ruling on the case, don't walk in and force your opinion on them. Says the Rambam, HaTorah etira la'adam shu mumcheh la'rabim ladun yechidi. Technically, the Torah permits a person to judge alone. If there is an expert, and both sides are willing to accept his opinion, so he's allowed to judge alone. Kmo she'bi'anu b'Sanhedrin. Omnam zeh dvar Torah. Technically, that's biblically. Ve'ziranu mizeh kan b'derech ha'musar, lo al derech ha'asur. This Mishnah is telling us proper behavior. It's not telling you what's prohibited. It was common practice in all the marketplaces. There would be a judge, and people would trust him. Very often it was the rabbi. The non-Jews also would very often go to the rabbi. There are many stories about Chacham Bashi, one of the Sephardi rabbis, that the non-Jews would come to him to judge them as well. There's a story about how he took locusts out of the city. He had all kinds of fantastic things. But he was brilliant, and everyone trusted him. So if there were a court case, they'd all agree he was honest, and they'd go to him.
So you said you could be a judge without being a rabbi?
If people, if people accept your expertise and your fairness, we're not going into all the details, but technically, yes. People can accept you. People can say, we trust him, that he'll rule fairly in accordance with the agreements of the place. You know, in a marketplace, there are certain rules. If you shake on it, is that called you cut a deal? You didn't cut a deal. So this Mishnah tells us that even though technically it's permitted, it's not the right way to do it. You could, you're allowed to, but the proper behavior is to avoid that. And the Mishnah concludes with another piece of advice. If your friends disagree, bisvara, and they what makes sense to them is not what makes sense to you, and that's normal that that should happen. Don't force your logic onto them. They have a choice. They're intelligent people. You explain what you have to say. Let them explain what they have to say. And if at the end of the day they understand you but don't agree with you, don't force your hand. And you don't have a right to force them to accept your opinion. It's very interesting. A few years ago, they published a letter from the Chief Justice here that he sent to other justices telling them what his opinion was, and then he expected them to rule in line with his opinion. So of course there were denials and this and that, but the Torah tells us each person is entitled to his opinion. Once you've learned enough and you're approaching the case honestly and you know the laws of derivation and the laws of the Torah, then that's what the Torah wanted, that different opinions will disagree and you get to the truth by going with the majority. Rabbi Yonatan said, "Kolam kem ta Torah me'oni, whoever keeps the Torah out of poverty, sofo lekayma me'osher. Ultimately, he will sustain it out of wealth. V'cholam vatel ta Torah me'osher, and whoever does not keep the Torah out of wealth, sofo levatla me'oni. He'll be in the same state of not keeping Torah, but he'll lose his wealth." Says the Rambam, "Amar ki alomedet ha Torah, v'u b'matzav oni v'dochak. If a person is learning Torah." I'll get it later, guys. Don't worry. Come on. Doesn't matter. I'll pick it up then. If a person is learning Torah out of poverty, he's tight. And in spite of his poverty, he pushes himself and he learns. So he's got to work this job and that job to make ends meet, but he pushes himself to learn in spite of that. Ultimately, he'll find himself learning Torah and things will be easier for him. And he'll reach a point where he won't be bothered by having to get all kinds of jobs that'll stop him from learning. But if you have someone who's in the opposite situation, he's got so much money, he's got to be on top of the stock market and all his investments, so he's got so much money, he can't learn. So then the Mishnah promises him, if that's the reason, he's too busy eating and drinking and enjoying and making money, but he's wealthy, he doesn't really need to. So Hashem, so then Hashem will ultimately bring him down from his wealth. And then the reason he won't be able to learn is because he'll be busy trying to find bread for his meal. So a person has to take to heart that business shouldn't be so good that he doesn't have time to learn Torah. A person has to learn Torah, be it if he's wealthy or he's poor. Chazal told us that Hillel will take us to task. When we come to the world to come, if a person says, "I was too poor to learn Torah," Chazal said, they'll tell him, were you poorer than Hillel? Hillel barely had food each day. He'd work for that day's living. He'd have enough, and then he'd go learn Torah. And he was a woodcutter. He had a simple job, cutting wood. If he could learn Torah and become the giant that he was, so every one of us has to find the way in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, on the road. You know, they put out this thing, they put out stuff like it. for people who are on the road. You could learn, and it's very short and clear. Today we have MP3 players, and a person also has to have to find time to actually sit down and learn. It's not enough to learn on the run. You also got to sit down. There's no other way. The Mishnah seems to give us some kind of segula, that if you keep Torah out of poverty, you'll make it to a better situation. And if you keep Torah out of wealth, and if you don't keep Torah out of wealth, then God will turn the wealth around.